If you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, we're going to be taking a look at chapter 10, a little bit at 11, and we're going to be settling in chapter 12. We're going to start out in chapter 12, just to not be confusing. Y'all can already see it coming, can't you? 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12, verse number 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let us pray. Amen. Now you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just want to kind of establish the setting here for what Paul's talking about. You know, Paul defends a lot of things. Paul addresses a lot of issues in Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And here in chapter number 10 and going on through 12, he's addressing some members of the Corinthian church that while Paul was, they've complained about Paul. They said, "We've gotten these letters from Paul," and I'm paraphrasing a lot here, "but we've gotten these letters from Paul, and he's real bold when he writes these letters, and he doesn't mind telling us what's wrong with the church and all. But then when he's here in presence, he's just this weak, doddering man." I'm making up words, but he's weak, and his speech is contemptible, the Bible says. So Paul is beginning to address these people, and when people tear people down, they generally do it to build themselves up, amen? Yeah, it's nice to look at the other people and say, "Well, there's flaws here," because that makes you feel a little better about your flaws. You know, people like the underdog because that kind of puts them right on that footing. But Paul here is addressing it, but he's addressing it as humbly as possible. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, we're going to kind of skip around a little bit, but he said, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you." Meaning he's low, he's humble, he's not lifting himself up. He says, "When I'm with you, I acknowledge you. There's not much to me, there's not much to look at. I'm not a powerful speaker, I'm not a man that draws people to me. You understand I'm adding a lot to this, but I'm trying to give you the picture of Paul the man that we see that's drawn here." You go to verse number 7, and he's addressing the issue. He says, "Do you look on the things after the outward appearance?" He said, "If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." You say that you're something, you have to understand that we're of Christ also, even as you are. He says, verse number 8, "For though I should boast somewhat more of authority," he was an apostle, he had more authority. He said, "Though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us," and he gave it to us for edification. That's to build people up, not for destruction, not to tear people down. That's a trap in the ministry. That's a trap in the pulpit. That's a trap for preachers. It can get built up in themselves and not use what God gave them for the edification of the people, but rather to build up their own little kingdom. And Paul's saying that power was given to us. We could boast somewhat more of that power, but it's for your edification. It's not for destruction. He said, "I should not be ashamed." Verse number 9, "That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." So he's trying to be as soft as he can here. I don't want to scare you with my letters. I want to be the same, you know, if I have to, I can be the same in my letters as I am or with you, or I can be the same with you as I am with my letters. But when he was with them, I've met preachers like this. You hear them preach, and, you know, their heart is for the people. And when they get up there and preach, it can ride on people. They can be as mean sounding as any. I don't know if y'all have heard any of that, you know. But you get out in Georgia and you get some of those country preachers, buddy, they can rip it up. Hellfire and brimstone and all that. And I've seen these preachers get up there and preach and just lay it out and just, you know, peel back your hide a little bit. But make you realize, you know, this is what's standing in between me and God. A good preacher will do that. He won't just tear you down, but he'll show you. You know, the Lord will use him to show you this is what's standing in between you and God. And you meet him. I remember one, Brother Donnie. Meet him after service. This is quiet. I mean, the man had just been up there yelling for an hour. But you meet him after service, just quiet, humble. You couldn't hardly get him to talk. Shy. And I kind of think of Paul as I hear this, that Paul, when he was with them, he was a gentle soul. But when he was away and he saw these problems in the church at Corinth, he was worried about them. And he's laying it out in the letters, and he's laying it out like they need to hear it. So Paul wasn't good looking. They say, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. I'm just laying out the setting for you if you're trying to figure out where this is going. Paul wasn't a good looking, smooth speaker. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 6, Paul says, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. Paul wasn't lacking in knowledge. Paul had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew all about the law. He knew about the law of the Hebrews. He knew about the law of God. He was an educated man, but all that he cast aside for Christ. He said, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. We've been shown to you in all things. You've seen our apostleship. You've seen it demonstrated through miracles and signs. In Galatians, no, that comes later. But anyway, Paul wasn't ever out to please men. He was only out to please God. And that's the thing about Paul. In his defense, he allows himself to do a little boasting as we look at chapter 11. He allows himself to do a little boasting to make a point. In 1 Corinthians 11, he does a little boasting, but he does it in the context not of building himself up, but telling of all the wonderful works that he'd done. And I healed this many people, and I've stood before kings and talked. I mean, that's the kind of thing people would build themselves up on, right? Our ministry has done this much. We've had this many baptisms. We've had this many saved. We've done this much and this. You know, Paul could be laying out his qualifications like that, but Paul doesn't do that. But rather, he tells them his qualifications and lists the things that he has suffered in the name of Christ. Even as he does this, he's careful to remain humble about it and not take credit, as he tells them that what he's saying is not from the Lord. It's foolish boasting. So in verse number 16, he says, I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise. Yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast a little of myself. In other words, understand what I'm about to tell you. This is foolish to tell you this, but I just want to show you something. He says, that which I speak, verse number 17, I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Y'all follow me on that? Y'all wouldn't tell me if you didn't. Verse number 18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. So Paul's kind of stepping aside and he said, all right, they're going to boast about things. Let me explain something to you. He says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage. In other words, they put up with it. If a man comes to bring them into bondage, you look at the church at Galatia, they were coming in there trying to put them into bondage to the law, and they suffered it. They put up with it. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. He says, I speak, verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. How be it, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. So the resume that he gives in the coming verses that Paul's about to list out wouldn't be one that the carnal Christians at Corinth would be expecting. They were judging by the outward appearance. They were making fun of how Paul was bold in his letters, but that his bodily presence was weak and his speech contemptible. And in verse number 30, in the middle of listing all this, Paul says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Let me try to explain this. So when Paul, instead of building himself up with all his miracles and words, Paul begins to list, okay, you're a minister of Christ? Let me show you what being a minister of Christ is about. Let me explain to you what it is to serve the Lord. And he gives this list. 11:22. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? And again, he says, I speak as a fool. He said, I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. You notice he's not listing out the letters behind his name here, but he's listing out the suffering that he's done. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, out in the water. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Does that sound like living your best life now? It just doesn't sound like it'd be a book that would sell, does it? In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. In verse 28, along with all of that that was happening to the outside of the body, he said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. All of that he was suffering, along with that, he was worried about the churches. He's hearing word. How's the church at Corinth doing? He hears about Ephesus, and I hear your works. I hear that you're doing good there. You know, and when he heard good news, it would lift his heart. He would think about those members there in that church. He wasn't thinking about, oh, well, I've got churches over here. I've got churches over here. I've got this and that going. And, you know, I've got a big, important ministry. Paul was sitting there in prison, naked, suffering. He was sitting there in the deep, in the ocean, and he's worried about the people in that church. He said, well, I wonder how Charlie's doing with that problem that he has. I'm making y'all nervous. But I wonder how such and so is doing. And he was praying, Lord, please help them. Lord, I know they're struggling. I know they're going through problems. And all of this is going on the outside and inside. Paul is praying for those people. He's praying those people. He's praying for the people at Corinth. He's praying for the people at Ephesus and Thessalonica. He wrote 13 books, 13 letters. And in every one of them, he showed his concern for those that were there. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. Verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? And if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas is the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. So he talks about all of these things that happened to him. And I tell you, if you're looking at getting a job and they list all of that, it's not a very appealing job. And then Paul goes on. He says in chapter number 12, and we're getting close. It says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. You know, it's really not a good thing for me to glory. But I will come, he says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And then he lists this. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He that was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now, when you first read this, it'll throw you. Because Paul's talking in the third person about himself. Paul, at one time, and we don't know when this happened, but we know that he had direct revelation from Jesus Christ. We know that in Acts chapter 9, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, when he was about to put more Christians in prison, and he was about to persecute more Christians, Jesus knocked him blind there on the road to Damascus. And he said, who art thou, Lord? What will you have me to do? Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. That's not a small thing. Most people, when they learn of Jesus Christ, they learn from a preacher. But Jesus himself chose Paul out. So at his conversion, at his commission, and it came to pass that when I was, this is Acts 22, 17, that when I was come to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Do you get the picture? The Lord's Paul spent some time with the Lord. Paul got to visibly see him. And here Paul talks about, and this may have most likely been when the Jews stoned him to death. They thought he was dead. They drug him out of the city and dropped him, and all the disciples were around him. And they were praying over him, but Paul stands up. And I have a good idea that was the time that he saw heaven, because you know what Paul did when he stood up? He went right back into the city where they just stoned him. It's like he was wanting to get back there. Just permit me to add a little bit. So even with all of that, even with spending time with Jesus Christ, seeing Jesus Christ talking directly to him. He was able to talk directly to the Lord. Even with all of that, Paul still remained humble, and he only wanted God to get the glory. He talked about that man that went up to the third heaven in the third person, as if it wasn't him that did it. So then we get to verse number 5. He says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. He said, or that he heareth of me. And then we get to our passage. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. We have a an idea what it could have been. It could have been his sight. We know that when he talked to the Galatians, over in that verse that I got ahead on and got out of order on, over in Galatians, he tells them, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." He said, "Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." It could be that he had trouble seeing. It could be any number of things. A man that's been stoned to death has got to have some aches and pains. It doesn't really matter to get caught up in all of that. But the thing is that Paul realizes this thorn in the flesh, this pain, this constant reminder. You ever got a sand burr in your shoe? Or maybe even on your pants where you don't know where it is, and every time you walk it sticks you? That's what Paul talks about. It's a constant pain. It's a constant reminder that it's there. You know, sometimes it's better just to get hurt and get it over with. But if you got something that just nags at you, you got arthritis, you got some kind of pain that just stays with you. You know, in a spiritual sense, we have pains that follow us. You know, you get saved, you get born again, you receive Christ, you become a new creature. And your eyes open up and you see the Bible. God opens up the Word of God to you. And you begin to see things that you never saw. I remember for the longest time trying to read the Bible, and I never got any of it. But then once God begins to open it up. But see, when you first get saved, there's joy. Everybody's a little different, but I'm giving you a general. I'm not laying it out, you know, if it wasn't like this for you, yeah, ask God. Be sure of your salvation. But I'm not trying to talk you out of it. But when I got saved, there was some joy. There was relief. There was knowing that I wasn't going to hell. There was knowing that the God in heaven was now on my side. And there's joy in that. But then as you begin your Christian walk, people start to learn, well, wait a minute. Those things that I did before, those desires, they're still there. And there's a reminder that you could go back to that. There's a reminder. And when you do it right, you draw closer to Jesus. And we'll talk about that at the end. But that thorn in the flesh, Paul says, it's a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure," it was there to keep him humble. Out of all the things that Paul had done in the ministry, the Lord kept this thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." So number one, we see the purpose of the thorn. And once Paul understood the purpose, he didn't worry about it so much. He had prayed to the Lord three times for this thing to be taken away from him. Now, as a physical infirmity, think about how frustrating that might be. Because one of the signs, the apostolic signs, was healing, miracles, wonders. You look in verse number 12, he says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Imagine how frustrating that would be for Paul, who has walked up to people and put hands on them and they've been healed. Who has walked nearby people and they've just touched him and been healed. People who have been unable to walk, or people who have been unable to see, and Paul has seen them, their lives changed, seen them healed. And yet here he has this infirmity in the flesh. We know that he kept Dr. Luke with him when he traveled, but here he has this infirmity of the flesh that he can't get rid of. The frustration that it must be. I'm jumping around a little bit. I hope y'all are able to follow me here. for application for us, where would this fall in our lives? There's besetting sins in our lives. There's weaknesses, there's desires, there's health. And there's some failing in your life. Something that rides with you. Something that just stays with you. Even though you have accepted Christ, might have accepted Christ. If you haven't accepted Christ, you need to. But even though you've accepted Christ and you've put it on him and you've prayed and you've asked God, please take this away. Yeah, this thing hasn't gone away. There may be a reason for it. Rather, some people get mad at God. You know, it may be that God keeps you there to keep you humble. You know, the church members, they pray, the small church, they say, Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. Amen. It's a joke. But that thing there, it's a reminder of what could happen. It's like the kid who got away from their parents and something scary happens. They don't get away again. It's like the shepherd who... the sheep runs off. He gets hobbled. He hobbles the sheep, breaks his leg, and carries him around, heals it. It sounds mean. But the shepherd does that so that the sheep will stay close. He doesn't run off again. He knows that the shepherd loves him. He knows that the shepherd will take care of him. It's like when your children act up and you discipline them. It's not because you hate them, hopefully. I don't know. Some of y'all are mean. But it's because you love them. And it's because you know that if they keep doing that, you keep sticking the screwdriver in the socket, it's going to hurt. Now, Charlie probably let them just do it, but I'm starting up again. I'm going to quit. But we do it so that they don't get hurt. It may be that the Lord keeps something in our life. It draws us to him. I know there's things in my life that just... it's like if you don't stay close to the Lord, this will take over. Y'all may not have that problem. Paul had been able to heal people. He brought a man back to life who fell out of a window and all the other apostolic signs, yet he couldn't heal himself. In verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. All through the Bible, we see this. We see it with Gideon. Gideon had the army, 10,000 men, got knocked down to 200 men to fight the battle because the glory was going to the Lord. The Lord said, I'm not going to let you take this big army unless you exalt yourself and say that you did it. I want you to know that I did it. There's a lot of times you get down to that little bit of oil and that little bit of flour, and that's all there is. But God shows you that he's the one providing. You know, we see it in Moses when he was called at the burning bush. And Moses had nothing. He had no confidence in himself whatsoever. He had served under Pharaoh, or he was Pharaoh's son. He was on high. You would think that would be the position where you could free up the Israelites. But when Moses began to try something on his own, it didn't work out, and he got discouraged. He ran off to the backside of the desert for 40 years. And God finds him, calls him out of the burning bush. He's not even keeping his own sheep. He hasn't even built up his own wealth. He has nothing. He's keeping his father-in-law's sheep. And that burning bush talks to him, Moses, take your shoes off your feet, for you're on holy ground. He says, I'm going to send you to the Israelites. And Moses is nothing but afraid. He has no confidence in himself. All he can do is trust in the Lord. It says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Over in Corinthians, it says, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the base things of the world to confound the wise. He said, most gladly, and this is Paul, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, And this list isn't something you'd normally take pleasure in, but I take pleasure in necessities, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Not for his own sake, but he says, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying, and then that goes on. But it's God's grace, it's God's power that gets you through. I recently watched a documentary about some people that had been saved by the gay lifestyle. Now, I'm not going to talk about one way or the other. The Bible says it wrong, says it's wrong, but this documentary was interesting. It was hard to watch at times, but it was about 15 or 20 people, 10 to 15 people, different testimonies. And it was interesting because at the end of the documentary, it listed about 10 or 15 different locations. It wasn't like these were all sitting around in a group setting. Oh, yes, yes, this happened to me. But they filmed it. They talked to them and asked them questions, and they gave their testimony. They gave their testimony how they got into that lifestyle, about the abuse they suffered when they were a kid, about how people prejudged them as, well, you must be gay or this or that, but how they got into that lifestyle. And it was hard to watch at times. It was hard to listen to what they'd gone through. But there came a time when they began giving testimony of turning their lives over to Jesus Christ, of realizing their need for salvation. And they had different stories about how they came to that. And this was edited, all these different testimonies in these different locations was edited, and it brought out the similarities in each of their testimonies. And I thought that was real interesting. You know, on our sign, it says, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, what you saw, and Jesus says, abide in me, and my words will abide in you. When it brought those things together at the end, and they began giving their testimony, and they were rejoicing. They said, I'm a new creature in Christ. They were talking about the relief that came over them, that the load had been lifted, and all these similar testimonies that lined up together. And then something happened. It began to kind of take a turn. One man had said, from that day on, I had no more desire for that. And you can take drugs, you can take video games, I don't care what you take, there's things that put you in bondage. And the Bible talks about them. Adultery, it could be fornication, whatever. I found one thing interesting. Well, I'll tell you in a second, if I can remember it. But they're listing all these things, and then the topic begins to take a little turn in the next segment. In the next segment, they begin talking about, well, yeah, those desires were still there. And you could see on their face, it was a battle that they'd gone through. Those desires were still there. A woman saying, I still had desires for other women. A man saying, I had just gotten baptized, and we were changing it, and I had a desire for that man. It's making my wife awkward. But it was awkward, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, oh, man, you guys are blowing this. This isn't going to convince anybody. That's what my flesh is saying. But I know what the Bible says, and I know what, And I'm watching this, and it's like, man, they can't just leave it here. And they're talking about the difficulties, the trials they went through, They were saved, but they still had that. But, they all came back around to the same thing. The ones that they were giving their testimony, you know what they said? They said, I didn't try not to be gay. I didn't spend my time trying to be heterosexual. I spent my time with Jesus. I spent my time, and there's no pray the gay away, they said. So there's no praying your problem away. That thing, that thorn in the flesh, that was their thorn in the flesh. That's what I see. I said thorn in the flesh. That's what kept them turning to Jesus Christ. Because you turn to him for salvation, but so many people think, well, that's the end of the road. Hey, there I am. I'm a new creature in Christ. It's all gone away. Behold, all things become new. You know what the new creature in Christ is? You have a spirit and you have flesh. This flesh is still here in this world. And it's still going to desire the things of this world. But our spirit is seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You become a new creature. You become two. And that part of you, the Bible tells us about walking in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That ties it together right there. Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's drawing closer to Jesus Christ. And they said, you know, the desire was still there. But I wasn't worried about it. I was worried about being obedient to Jesus Christ. And by the way, unless anybody is listening get mad, on their own, and this is the part I was going to tell you that I thought was interesting, the woman said, I saw it in the Bible on my own that it was wrong. And I realized I couldn't go half in, half out. I couldn't do this on the side and still be with Jesus Christ. And it was like the Lord told me, one woman said, it was like the Lord told me, this is where you make your decision. And they'd read about being turned over to a reprobate mind, and they knew what that was like, and they didn't want to do that. They chose at that moment to follow. One woman had been editing a magazine or some online page or something, and it was for gay pride and stuff. But she already had a talk that was scheduled. She'd already been paid for it. And she's like, what am I going to, you know, and the devil's like, you've already been paid for this. What are you going to do about that? And it was all kinds of reasons not to get saved in that moment. But she did. She got saved and she prayed about it. And the Lord said, go. And you can imagine what this is like. She said, I just knew the whole place was going to erupt. But I sat through and it was a round table and they were talking, oh, how did you get started and this and that? How did you? Well, that was easy questions. Then it got to the end. Well, what do you see for the future of this? And I'm like, oh, boy. And when it came around to her, and she said, well, in the future, Venus is going to take a 180. Rather than encouraging people to stay in this lifestyle, Venus is going to show them how they can get out of this lifestyle through Jesus Christ. And she's up there on stage. And I think it was New York. And she said, you could have heard a pin drop. She said it took a little bit for the moderator to catch themselves. And once they did, and they went on, and she said, you know, they had the handshaking afterwards. She said, I was afraid to go to it. And she said, but I felt the Lord tell me to go to it. She went to the handshaking and all. She had so many people that came up to her and said, you know, I want out. You know, this is happening. She became a testimony, became a ministry right there. I carried you down that road kind of far. But you know, when we look at the thorn in the flesh, we live with that. It's unanswered prayer. Some people get mad about unanswered prayer and say, well, God doesn't answer prayer, you know. We look at the Bible, we say the Bible says this here, the Bible says this here. We can't always draw a logic diagram from one point to the other because God deals with people in different situations and different ways and different people. And God deals with us all on our level at that moment. But what we know is Paul had that thorn in the flesh. That was what kept him humble. That's what kept him from saying, I did all this. I've talked to Jesus Christ. He didn't say that. He did it to let them know what had happened, but he was humble about it. That thorn in the flesh may be there to keep you humble. In John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you got the thorn in the flesh, the only way is drawing close to Jesus Christ, abiding in Christ. You know, there's not a whole lot of effort in that other than keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. Miss Maxine. I don't as she plays, I don't know what anybody's going through or not going through. I know I've been praying for this one. This opened up. And it's what I've been seeing in God's Word. I've been in churches where they push you, they drive you, drive the sheep. And it's a hard thing to say, Lord, you're the one that builds. You're the one that does. And when you do that, you've got to draw close to the Lord so that He will. It's not a given thing. But in your life, if you're wanting to get past this thorn, you want to draw closer to Jesus Christ, the first thing you need to do is place your trust in Him. Will you stand as she plays just a moment, or sit there and pray if you like? But what is that thing in your life? You've been frustrated. You can't get rid of it. You can't drop it. Maybe the Lord is just using that to draw you closer to Him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, won't you come and talk to me? After the service or right now, I can tell you the devil will give you all kinds of reasons not to get saved. He'll talk you out of it. He'll say, do it later. Whether it's getting saved or getting right, turn it over to the Lord.